ITS Coffee Break for Monday, July 28th, 2008.
In this edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we have lots of ITS updates. Obviously, it's toward the end of the summer, lots to report on. And in tech news, we'll talk about NASA images, a new Molecules app for the iPhone and iPod Touch, and Google's response to librarians.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name's Ken Nyquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And, wow, we got lots and lots going on this summer.
I know. I mean, that's why in the teaser I couldn't even pick a couple, because there's just a whole list of things going on.
Yeah, and it's only, well, I guess summer's like, I don't even want to say how far over it is.
Yeah,
but it's like two-thirds of the way through, right? But yeah. We did actually do a lot. We have a good excuse for not recording lots of podcasts this time.
Yeah, we've been very busy.
So I guess the first thing we should talk about is NAC.
Yes.
Since it's ongoing.
It is ongoing. So I think we've mentioned this before, and you may have seen signs and things around, but NAC, which is just capital N-A-C, is Network and Mission Control. And basically what's going on is that building by building, they're turning on this authentication mechanism. And so those of you who, students especially, who are familiar with NetReg, this process replaces NetReg. So basically, you just have to, it prompts you to download a little application, you put in your username and password, and then you're off to the races.
Yeah, so I mean, so far, I mean, there have been one or two bumps along the road, right? But I guess they've been figuring it out as we go along, so everything seems to be moving along rather nicely.
That's right.
On a Moodle note, we couldn't get through a podcast without mentioning
that's
Moodle.
That's right.
Moodle and Google, I guess, right, are the two things we have to talk about all the time.
And
but,
Apple.
Moodle 1.9 is out there for everybody to use. It's the latest and greatest version of Moodle. We updated the production site, and this includes the often discussed new gradebook. And as a result of our other Moodle news, which was the Moodle Hack DocFest at Kenyon College that Courtney and I went to, was that 2 weeks ago now? A week ago? I can't remember either. Sometime in mid-July. Anyway, we went to Kenyon, and Courtney spent a good chunk of time working with some other instructional technologists to, well, figure out how to use the gradebook. So
documentation for that should be up soon, but we're also having workshops.
Yes, but more on those later.
Yes.
So HackDocFest went pretty well on my side. I mean, a lot of it was technical, so I don't want to delve into the bowels of Moodle, as it were. But there's a new RSS thing, which replaces the old RSS thing, which just basically means that your RSS feed should work much better than they did before. Some people ran into, you know, they're kind of like these oddball problems that would crop up when you were trying to subscribe to a feed.
Right, like sometimes New York Times, people would have trouble or different things. So this should fix it. So basically what we're saying is you're not going to notice anything because things are going to work for you.
That's the goal.
So that's generally, you know, people say, well, what are all the changes in 1.9? And it's kind of hard to tell people because most of them are not going to be visible from the user.
And I think that is the big thing with 1.9 is they spent a lot of time making sure that it worked.
Right.
And I think that it really shows. I mean, it's we went through and we tested everything, and there weren't hardly nearly as many bugs as showed up in 1.7 and 1.8. So it was a much easier summer in that regard than I expected it was going to be. On a related Moodle note, we should be doing the course enrollment sometime this week. This week being the week of Monday the 28th. Yep. So I just have to go and do the extract. So you can expect to see your students showing up in their courses pretty soon. If you're a student, that means only that you've been enrolled in the course as far as banner is concerned, but your course still may not show up because your faculty member may not have turned it on. So all the courses exist, but faculty decide whether or not they want to use that particular course in Moodle for a semester. So just heads up. If you log into Moodle and you don't see your courses, that's because your faculty member may not have turned them on yet. Our other news, on a kind of a geeky note, is Second Life Island.
That's
right. Which is your baby. I haven't been doing much with Second Life, so.
Well, as we mentioned last semester, or last I guess all of last year, we've had some interest on campus to do some things in Second Life. And so we have purchased our very own island. So if you are in Second Life and you are not a member of the Lafayette College group, pop me an email or look for Court Beaumont in Second Life and let me know who you are and I'll add you to the list and you'll be able to access the island. Right now we have it turned off for public accessibility because we're just sort of dorking around and
trying to figure out what to do with it.
So, you know, if you're interested in participating and creating and getting involved in this, please let me know. We really want this to be driven by faculty and students and people who are ultimately more creative than me.
Right. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what people do with it.
Absolutely.
Now on a, well, I guess kind of a surprising note, we heard from our Apple rep that there's a lot of Macs coming on campus this semester.
Like in the realm of 500.
Or there are 500 people associated with Lafayette College who have bought Macs.
Yes.
So not all of those will necessarily be showing up on campus, but we would expect a fair number of them would.
Yes.
The crazy thing is, I don't know if I should say crazy. The interesting thing is, I can say interesting now that we're not panicking anymore, is that all of these Macs come with iPod Touches.
That's right.
Because that's the education bundle for this year, which is infinitely cooler than the last gen Nano that I got with my MacBook Pro this time last year. But be that as it may, there's a whole bunch of iPod Touches that are going to be showing up on campus this fall.
That's right. And so Ken mentioned the panic. The panic was because, number one, they all connect to the network, and we wanted to make sure we have enough IP addresses.
Well, I guess we should back up for a second to explain what an iPod Touch is, because I think we've geeked out on this at one point, but
maybe.
I don't remember.
So iPod Touch is like the little baby child of the iPhone. So this is Apple's mobile device. The iPod Touch is more like an iPod because it doesn't have the phone capabilities, but it allows you to connect to the network, to surf wirelessly, remotely, whatever, download applications, access the iTunes music store, all of those good things, which means there need to be enough IP addresses on the wireless router to be able to accommodate everyone.
Right. So we double checked, and there is more than enough space on the wireless network to accommodate all these little things. We actually have one in the office that we've been experimenting with just to make sure all of our web apps work. And now, Courtney had checked out most of this stuff to begin with because she has the iPhone and was able to go in, you know, make sure Moodle, you can log into Moodle and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's not necessarily pretty because none of our apps are designed to be mobile apps per se.
Right.
But, you know, with a couple hundred of these things showing up on campus, it's something we may have to think about. So if you're going to be using an iPod Touch on campus and you just have some opinions on what we should be doing with it, let us know. You can contact us at itsblog@lafayette.edu. So the last thing is the Corn on the Quad blog.
That's right. So for those of you who have not been on campus, or maybe you have been and you just didn't know what these big orange fenced off areas of campus contain, they contain corn.
Yes, lots of corn. It should be more obvious now.
It is more obvious.
It wasn't very obvious when they first came up.
Yes.
But
so basically what's going on is there is now a website, www.lafayette.edu/corn-on-the-quad. And they're keeping a blog. They're actually keeping the blog on Soapbox, and we're using a little app called Feed2JS to actually pull that content onto their website. So it's pretty interesting. You can also blog and add things. Just use the tag Corn on the Quad if you add blog entries to Soapbox related to this project.
So this is all related to the Omnivore's Dilemma,
yes,
which is the book that the first years are reading.
Yes.
As their class project or whatever.
Right,
summer
as their
reading project.
As their reading, their orientation reading project. Yes.
So,
but there's a whole, I mean, it should be rather interesting for the whole campus because they are planning events and things, and classes are taking part in using this that aren't necessarily just first year courses. So, you know, the idea is for us to sort of reflect and think about as a campus green initiatives and the concepts brought up by the Omnivore's Dilemma.
So tech news this week is actually a lot lighter than ITS news this week, which is kind of inverted from the way it is during the semester.
Yeah.
Which I guess just goes to show when people say, oh, are you relaxing this summer? How's your summer going? It is very busy.
It's busy. We're not relaxing.
It's crazy insane for us. We're looking forward to the semester to relax. but the rest of the world continues to move on. So the first thing that I think I came across in the Liberal Education Today blog was NASA Images, which is a new website that NASA's come out with to basically post all of their miscellaneous images online. So I guess kudos to them to try and create a repository that holds all of this stuff in one place, but it is just unpleasant to browse.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those examples where it would have been better for them to use a tool that people are more familiar with.
Yeah.
Such as Flickr, dare I say it.
Or
something like that. Because it is.
Recreate the Flickr interface.
Right. It is very difficult to navigate and to find really what you're looking for other than just to search.
Or even just to open it up to people to like catalog the images themselves. You know, make it much more social. Because, man, there are enough geeks out there who would go through every image. But this thing is just a pain to drill down through.
Yeah.
So it's much actually better to, instead of trying to drill down through the interface, to just do a search. So for example, I ended up, I went to the homepage, I clicked on solar systems, I then clicked on Mars thinking I would just get Mars stuff. But I ended up getting like this weird query where it was looking at all the solar system planets plus Mars, which is not what I was shooting for. So just doing a straight up query on Mars worked out much better. But, you know, again, hopefully things will kind of work out as it's been up for a while. The other thing that was kind of annoying, and I guess this is a fairly geeky thing, but it doesn't support PicLens, which is just such a useful application for browsing large amounts of photos. So I'm hoping that they'll add that kind of support in too. But you can check it out. It's at www.nasaimages.org.
So the next thing, we mentioned sort of geeking out about the iPod and the iPod Touch and the iPhone, and this next bit of tech
and
news.
And the opportunities that having a whole bunch of iPod Touches could have showing up on campus,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. So that was the thing. When we, when the iPod Touch got here last week or whenever that was, you know, we always jokingly, when we get new toys, say, okay, now we have to find a reason that we should all have to get these. And, you know, I think this does. It lends itself to thinking about those possibilities. Molecules is an application for the iPhone and iPod Touch, and it allows you to view three-dimensional renderings of molecules. And you're able to, because of the interface of the iPhone, you're able to manipulate them with your finger. So you can drag it out and make it bigger. You can rotate it pretty much 360 because it's 3D. And then you can also download additional molecules, and you can click the little eye for information and go in and see, you know, when it was developed or discovered and all of these things. So it's pretty interesting. I was looking at insulin earlier.
Yeah, so
so I need the biologist, like, where's Laurie Caslake? Oh, yeah, she's on sabbatical. But we need her to explain these things to us.
Right. But it was pretty cool. I found out about it through a website called MacResearch.org, I think it is. It's either .org or .com, but it's a really good site for keeping track of just scientific developments on the Mac.
Yeah.
You can find this particular one at www.sunsetlakesoftware.com/molecules. A little rough around the edges, but overall I think it's pretty cool, and it just kind of shows, you know, where things could be going, right? I mean, if everybody has these kind of apps on campus, I think the iPod Touch could be much cooler than, say, you know, giving everybody an iPod. You know, that was the big initiative,
right,
where, you know, loading it up with just audio, not so exciting.
Yeah.
But having something like this,
right,
it's pretty.
Where you have applications and students have the potential to build their own either applications or things to go into it, such as this molecules thing.
Right, it's pretty exciting stuff, I think.
Absolutely.
And plus, with Android coming out, which is Google's open source mobile computing platform thing for mobile phones, exciting times, I think, over the next 5 years.
Yeah, you know, people have talked about, you know, mobile devices in education for a while now, and I've always felt like it was rather limited, because when they talked about it, they were talking about, like, a POM for nursing students that had the, you know, medical books in them or things like that. And I think this really opens up the possibilities much more than ever before with mobile computing. Yeah. So.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
So Google has killed Library and Central, which is its blog about libraries and library. I guess it was about their library initiatives and such.
Yeah.
So basically, I think the history of this blog was they had created it when they were all about getting on librarians' good side when they were trying to do their Google Books project, because they needed librarians. And then more recently, they hadn't really been updating the blog all that much, which led many librarians to say, hey, where did the love go, Google? So Google has now said, well, the love is gone, and we're going to replace it with a newsletter. So the blog is going away in favor of a newsletter. I don't know. This is kind of a bummer for me. A newsletter seems kind of really 90s,
yeah.
You know, and it seems to me like with an organization as big as Google, which is all about, you know, organizing information and such, it seems like just a natural kind of synergy with librarians, and that, you know, they could slice out a little bit of that pie to spend time talking about and engaging librarians. But I guess we'll have to wait and see how the new newsletter turns out.
Yeah, it just sounds kind of lame.
Yeah. So those of you who think we're always up on Google, well, we're proving that we're down on Google this
time. Right.
So. So in help news this week, the first thing we want to lead off with, just because it's kind of come up a couple of times over the summer, is that we don't support FrontPage.
Our server isn't set up to support FrontPage. Microsoft doesn't make FrontPage anymore.
So.
And I don't remember enough FrontPage from 1995 to help anyone.
Yeah.
So our recommendation is Dreamweaver, and that is installed in basically on any computer that is campus owned. And if for some reason your computer is older and you don't have it, you are more than welcome to submit a help request and ask that Adobe Creative Suite be added, and you will have Dreamweaver.
Yes. So.
So that is our helpful help note about FrontPage and web design.
Yes. So please don't use it. Now, on a entirely different note, there's a bunch of workshops coming up.
There are. We've reached that point in the summer where we feel like people have relaxed and are ready to work again. So we're offering some workshops. We have some concentrated for August 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. And we did this because we felt like more people would be around and ready to roll. We do have a few between now and then, particularly things like video editing and some other things like that. But the ones that I'm most excited about, because they're the ones I'm leading, I know that's very selfish, and my apologies to Jason and Pat and Lori, but August the 11th, which is Monday, we are going to have a Moodle Quick Start and a Moodle What's New for Fall 2008. So if you're just interested, you've been using Moodle for the last year, you want to know what's changed, what's new, I will point those things out to you. And that's a really short session for the What's New for Fall. And then on August the 12th, which is Tuesday, we will have an introduction to Second Life. So if in the beginning of the segment you had no idea what we were talking about Second Life, this is the workshop for you. It'll explain what Second Life is, it'll help you get started, and see if you're interested. We're also having Outlook for faculty. We're also doing PowerPoint and Smart Classrooms that week. And then two other Moodle things, navigating the new gradebook, which is very beneficial to you if you like to use the digital gradebook that's there. We'll go into depth, and we encourage you to bring your syllabus with you, and we will help you create the gradebook that matches. And also the developing your course session, which is basically a session where you come, We are quiet. We let you ask questions. We answer your questions. We sit and help you, or we stay out of your way and just give you the time in the quiet to work. So it's a pretty flexible time, and it worked out well for people, I think. So
yeah, I think so. It's a good opportunity to, A, force yourself to work on your course, and B, have people there who can help you
work on your course. That's right. And, you know, it's particularly nice because if you have several people in the room, even if you're not teaching even the same discipline, it's really nice because you can shoot ideas off of each other, and usually people have different perspectives that they're willing to share. So it's a good time. Come spend some time with us in a workshop.
So we are always looking for feedback on the show. You can send it to us by dropping an email to itsblog@lafayette.edu.